This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And Sean said he assumed that we would start by talking about the Stars. I guess we probably should, as we're live at Pluckers in Fort Worth off 820, if you want to come see us. By the way, Reggie will be at this very same Pluckers this evening holding down our path to the draft and our draft coverage brought to you by Pluckers.
Kevin, I feel right at home in the studio right now because Pluckers just turned on all their TVs. And most of them are on Charm.
Because they were watching NBA last night.
And in our studio, every morning, I'm always so surprised. Sean and RJ will leave it on Charmed all morning long and not even watch anything else. And we're like, hey, we got immediately, Mike, what's the first thing we do? We go grab the remotes and start changing it to MLB because we like sports.
Heck yeah, MLB Network. Sometimes ESPN. And then NFL Network.
That's right.
Those are the three channels that we usually switch into.
Yeah, but I'd feel right at home right now with Charmed on. So, Kevin, that is the way the hockey went down last night.
Yeah, look, I guess let's go ahead and
do that hockey.
Yeah, those girls on this show are so weird wearing low-rise jeans. They're supposed to go above your belly button.
Get those mom jeans.
I don't know why they're wearing
that
those jeans
true.
That really, like, accentuate a woman's hip area.
Pass.
And everything.
Let's go to cut number four. Or because the Stars didn't accentuate very much last night either.
Haskinen and Ben the assists. Here's Eichel to the backhand. Passes to Marchessault and they score. What a play by Jack Eichel. Brought all the attention to his left. An easy pass for the tuck home by Marchessault. And the Golden Knights have the equalizer.
And the season's over.
Yeah, just an abysmal result for the Stars against the Knights. And I believe, I know two of the games were in overtime. I think are they 0-5 against Vegas this year?
I heard that the coach for the Dallas Stars is now 2-9 versus the Vegas Knights.
Dang,
as the Stars coach.
And
so
unfortunately,
they own him.
Frequently, this is what he does, is he makes a lengthy playoff run, and then afterwards they get wiped out pretty quickly, and he has struggles getting back to the
good
same
regular
spot.
Season teams. Usually good regular season teams, but you're right.
Should we have two coaches? Like he can coach next year and then
during the regular season,
regular
that's
season
a good idea.
And then we change right there. Didn't we do that a while back? I did hear him, you know, after the game too, say, look, you know, we believe we're going to go on the road and play better. And I after watching what I felt was a moderately inspired team last night, because even on their forecheck, even when they went into the boards, it wasn't like they were going into the boards excited to go in the boards and lay somebody out. It was almost as if they were like, I'm sorry I did that. And that was kind of a rough part for me to watch throughout the night last night. It was moderately inspiring. I don't believe they're going to go on the road and be any different. But, Mike, you did ask the other day, are we a little concerned that we do have home ice advantage because of how good we've been on the road this year? And so now here we are in this situation.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. They're going to win at least one at home. Maybe the Stars win one.
I guess the Bruins blew a 3-1 lead last year. I remember that because they had so many wins. But
and the Knights have been very good. That's the problem.
The Knights are better than us.
Yeah, the Knights have been excellent at home and mediocre on the road, and yet here we are.
Yeah, they're a championship team that's deeper than they were last year.
Yeah, they might go back. Honest to God, they might go back to the Stanley Cup. Like, they might represent the West in the Stanley Cup. That's how good they are. It's unfortunate that that's who you drew. It's the team that you can't beat. Maybe you can beat Colorado. Maybe you can beat Winnipeg. You can't beat Vegas, and unfortunately, you got them in the first round. Last year, you were down 3-0, and you kind of made it a series when they were like, we got this thing.
Yeah.
Right? So same thing's going
to
happen.
So we will switch our focus to the NFL draft. NFL draft tonight. Corey, you will be at the Pluckers in Addison, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mike, you and Sean will be at the Pluckers in Dallas.
Yes, next to Michaels.
And then, which makes sense for you.
Yeah.
And then I will be at the Pluckers in Allen. I hope you come out and join us, especially in Allen, because we did really bad last year. So we need a reprisal. Reprisal? Reprieval?
Dude, you're the one trying to use the big word. All right, so don't look at us and ask.
All I know is we were the 24th best team last year, but they gave us the 2 seed because the Cowboys are favored in the NFL.
We were talking about this off air. So does Jerry think if we win the Super Bowl then we get the number one pick?
No, he misspoke, all right? He misspoke. It is odd that he was like, hey, guess what, guys? I'm going to go out of here in this press conference and I'm going to throw out something that I didn't think of until just like just a moment ago. That was one of those things. But, no, he misspoke. And Kevin, as we were discussing that moments ago, I think that's a better idea. Give the best team the number one overall pick because then that inspires some competition.
Nobody would be tanking.
Nobody's tanking because everybody's going to go out there and try hard.
He was probably tired. He was up till 2 a.m. looking at all the contracts of his team and all the other contracts in the NFL.
All right.
And trying to make sure that he gets it all right like he always has.
So, for this draft, I saw an article on The Ringer. We just haven't had an opportunity to talk about it. I wanted to run through a few of these, and you can tell me what, if any, of these traps you're worried about when it comes to the Cowboys. Or if you want to talk about any other team, that's fine. Number one, the we know ball trap, overrating one's ability to evaluate talent.
Okay, yeah, that is definitely – and that's kind of what the Cowboys have done to themselves here, right? Is that they have trapped themselves and forced themselves in the offensive line because they didn't go and say during the free agency, we're going to add to that position.
And I think the Cowboys are pretty good at drafting usually.
Especially offensive linemen. It seems like they've done a pretty good job of that. But they pigeonholed themselves as, like, they forced themselves to do this.
This guy's different trap, ignoring historical evidence to justify a selection. That is where I think the Cowboys get in trouble.
Yeah, the Cowboys definitely do that for sure. That's part ego there, Kevin.
Number three, the plug and play trap, overrating the possibility that a prospect will be able to make an immediate impact.
I think that's not our station. I think that's a fan problem. Is that sometimes the players are ready to go and sometimes they're not. You want your players to be plug and play. And I don't think the Cowboys do that a lot. I think they hope that that's the case, but then they get into a situation and they're like, oh, crap, he's not ready.
Do you think they've painted themselves into that corner where, I mean, look, the Jones family didn't guarantee, like, hey, we all three of these guys need to be starters, but they did say for their first three picks, like, it would be ideal if they were all ready to go.
Yes, they have put themselves, but they do that a lot, Kevin, because of the way that they treat the offseason. Like that, like every year, it's like we are heavily reliant on the success of our picks, and you know, that's why I'm surprised that they don't try to acquire more picks throughout the off season, because it feels like if you're going to invest that much in these guys, have to be good, then they should be good for you, and you should have more picks to use from them.
This is one I think the Cowboys avoid. The C.J. Stroud, Puka Nacua trap, looking at rookies from last year and thinking that you can get the same version of that player. I do think the Cowboys avoid that. Well, obviously they're not looking for a quarterback, but at least I hope they don't look at last year's best players and go, yeah, our guy can do that.
Yeah, I don't typically hear – a lot of the times, Kevin, what you'll hear is this guy reminds me of Eric Williams. Or this guy reminds me of Flo Zell, or he could be the next Charles Haley. And so they're trying to give their fan base, their audience, that opportunity.
Are the Cowboys guilty of this next one? Because I think yes. The LOL college coaches trap. That's operating under the assumption that your coaching staff will be able to get more out of a prospect than his college coaches could. I know this goes way back, but that's where, like, the Marty B pick falls. You know, very highly rated high school recruit, very highly rated going into college, not particularly productive. And then the Cowboys are like, no, we got it. And then they
were better
didn't.
Than his college coach. Yeah. Our guys are better than that.
And then they didn't.
I don't know, man, because I feel like, do the Cowboys really have faith in their coaches all the time? Because they go there. It's, we were 2 years into Mike McCarthy, and it was like, oh, man, we're done with this one, so we got to move on. So sometimes I don't think they have faith in their college, even their coaches.
What do you mean? Thought of this? Isn't it funny that he will, Jerry, hire maybe strong personality or strong assistant coaches as your offensive and defensive coordinator, but he won't do it for the head coach because he doesn't want that person to get the credit for the unlikelihood. But if the Cowboys were to miraculously win a Super Bowl, he's like, I cannot have a person that is considered the reason why we won at that position.
Although every successful business, every successful battalion, every successful football team has everybody knows who the leader is. And everybody goes, all right, we're following that dude right there. Yes. He's the one. So we're rocking with him.
And they don't care if they get the credit or not. They're like, were we successful? Was the business successful? Was the battle successful? Was the whatever? This last one is really interesting, and I want to get y'all's take on this. Avoid the best player available trap. And what they're saying here is picking a player based on who has the highest grade and ignoring importance of positional value. So, like,
that's not their trap.
But I just want to see what y'all think about it in general. Like, let's say there's a safety with a tiny, tiny bit higher grade than an edge player or your left tackle or whatever. Do you go best available, or are you like, man, these positions are not built equally?
Well, I mean, does that safety that you just said, is he better than this current safety I have? Then that's where this conversation comes into play is and I think Steven's right in that respect of best player available at position of need. Like if now you don't want to put yourself in a situation where you have too many positions of need, because then you might get stuck drafting a Shontae Carver. But if you make sure that you're pretty stacked across the board and you're like, okay, we can take anybody, then Kevin, yeah, that's where the conversation does come into play. I don't think they get themselves in that conversation too much because, unfortunately, they've left themselves in some bad positions of need this year.
And then, okay, so let's talk about those positions of need. I feel like there's been a lot of discussion for the Cowboys that offensive line, running back, you feel likely that those will be, I don't know, I feel
addressed.
Likely that those will be two of the top three picks. Maybe
y'all. We already know.
Yeah.
The three picks, we already know the positions for the Cowboys.
You just so you are sure
I would
that
bet,
in
I,
some order yeah, or another.
Yeah. Offensive line, linebacker, running back will be the first three picks for the Dallas Cowboys, no matter what.
And that's the thing, too, is the way that the draft kind of sets up, it's more of an offensive draft than it's ever been before. Like this lays out as all the best players are on the offensive side. Your defensive players are going to be third-round picks.
Yeah.
I mean, even like Edgerrin Cooper, Kevin, I love him. I think there's a lot of really good qualities about him. I saw that goal line
stand. Second-round pick!
And that's kind of – but people are already like, could he be a first-round pick? And this dude is probably a legitimate second-round pick, maybe a third-round pick in other good defensive drafts. But that's where, you know, he could be one of those options there.
And I do not want to rule out, you know, I don't know if this video is going to come out where we give our first-round predictions. I do not want to rule out that the Cowboys trade out of the first round. I could absolutely
dude,
see
do
that.
You, let's trade up, all right? Let's trade up and collect more picks at the same time. How do you do that? I saw Kevin Costner do that once. How do you pull that off?
What, I don't even remember the ridiculous way they got back to
you don't
him.
Rewatch it every year?
No, that movie sucks.
You're
is
lying.
Him picking out that piece of paper and is like, no matter what, draft this guy. And was like, well, then what was the whole rest of all of this maneuvering about?
I would like more people to text in and tell Kevin how much they love that movie, draft.
Hey,
especially
if you
on
love
draft
that movie,
day.
Tell me again how they traded the pick and then got the picks back. Or mm-hmm. I honestly
he
don't remember.
It. He just demanded it. And he Kevin, what he did was he found out that he had that quarterback was going to fall apart. All right.
Because nobody went to his birthday
party.
Because
nobody went to his birthday party. He didn't care about what happened on the field. Actually, there was a moment whenever he threw a touchdown pass and nobody celebrated with him. He just ran off to the middle of the field to celebrate by himself. That was the moment that he was like, "Hold on, what's going on here? Tell me about his birthday party." That's when he learned all that information. He was like, "I don't need this anymore. I just want my picks back and I can get my linebacker."
What a terrible movie that is.
It was brilliant.
How many times? When's the last time you watched that movie?
This morning.
No, you
didn't. Woke up eating Fruit Loops.
Oh, you didn't.
Every once in a while, it's on one of these TNT channels that you might catch 5 minutes before the next
commercial.
I bought
it on Amazon Prime.
Did you?
Yeah, man. I was like, I have to have it.
Like Forever? You bought the Forever package?
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
He wasn't going to buy it, but then he took out a sheet of paper in his pocket and said, no matter what,
no matter
buy
what,
this movie.
Yeah. But I just can't wait for draft day 2. That's what I'm really looking forward to.
From the 817, Kevin Costner was actually all in. We're the KNC masterpiece.
That is true.
Right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will power rank the MLB power rankings, but also Dallas Wings president and CEO Greg Bibb next as we are live at Pluckers in Fort Worth off of 820 on 105.3 The Fan.
And Ogunbowale going to work on Alisha Gray. The little hesitation decided to stop the change of gear.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Pluckers in Fort Worth off of 820. If you want to come see us, Reggie will also be doing the draft coverage this evening if you want to come and hang out with him. But right now, we bring to you Dallas Wings president and CEO Greg Bibb. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Was yesterday a nerve-wracking day at all, or did you already know, hey, everything was going to get approved by the city council, we were going to get the 15-year agreement, and we're moving the team into the city of Dallas?
Well, we've been working on this deal for the better part of 2 years, so we felt confident going into the city council session, but you never know, and it's not finished until it's finished. So we were relieved when the vote was taken and the city council unanimously approved the deal for the Wings to come to Dallas.
If it hadn't been unanimous, would you have had words with anybody, even if it did still pass?
I wouldn't, but I would have been bummed.
Okay, can you walk everybody through the deal and when this all takes place? Because obviously, y'all had just discussed selling out your season tickets over in Arlington for the first time. Can you walk us through when this takes place and where it's going to be?
Sure. We're not going anywhere for the next 2 seasons. So the 24 season, which starts with training camp this Sunday, and next year, 2025, will be in our current home, College Park Center on the campus of UTA. Been a fantastic place for us to be for our first 8 years. Will be great for the next two. But then starting in the summer of 2026, we'll be playing in a completely renovated Dallas Memorial Auditorium, which is part of a decade-long redevelopment of the Convention Center District in downtown Dallas.
Can you walk us through why this was important? I know there are financial incentives involved. Is it bigger arena? Is it actually being in the city of Dallas? Like, what were some of the reasons that y'all decided to try to go seek this out, or why you think the mayor reached out to you?
There are a lot of good reasons, I think, for both us and the city of why this is a great deal, and it's going to be a fantastic partnership for years and years to come. But I'll start with, I think, the two most important. Number one, this opportunity gives our world-class athletes a facility to train and play in that they deserve. And number two, it gives our fans, the best fans in the WNBA, a world-class venue where they will be able to come and support their hometown team.
I was kind of curious how the college game and how the college tournament has spiked intrigue into the next level, not only the draft, but the next level of play.
It certainly has helped. And listen, I'm Caitlin Clark's biggest fan, with the exception this year of May the 3rd, July the 17th, and September 1st. Those are the 3 dates she'll be here to face the Wings. But she has done an extraordinary job, really, for the last 4 years, but in particular the last 6 months, in grabbing a whole bunch of people who weren't paying attention to women's basketball and bringing them on board. Now, with that said, I will tell you that the momentum around women's sports and the WNBA and the Dallas Wings started long ago. We've experienced growth year over year, every year, going back to the pandemic. And to the credit of Mayor Johnson and the City of Dallas leadership, again, those conversations started over 2 years ago, long before the phenomenon that's been happening for the last 6 months or so got started.
I'm curious, since you mentioned those dates, that May 3rd one, that is a preseason game, but that is Caitlin Clark's first ever WNBA game, whether it was for the preseason game or the regular season ones on July 17th or September 1st. Was there or has there been any discussion about maybe moving that game to the American Airlines Center because some other WNBA teams have obviously moved some of their games to facilitate that?
We certainly explored opportunities to play that game in a bigger venue. However, after really thinking it through, you know, our partners at UTA, College Park Center, the City of Arlington, they've been fantastic partners, and they've been with us step and step since the team arrived back in 2016, long before women's basketball and the WNBA was getting the attention and engagement and fandom that it's getting today. For that reason, and also for the reason that we have season ticket holders who have been with us since day one, who have sat in the same seats and built friendships and communities with the season ticket holders around them, we felt best not to disrupt that. Our home is our home for the next two summers, and we'll play there. Are we leaving some money on the table by making that decision? Probably. But I think sometimes the long-term decisions are the best decisions.
What's the what is the plan next then to capitalize on some of the new faces that are coming into the league, and then combine that with some of the faces that have been around and really market and grow that as you go along?
Listen, last year was a record year. This year is either already broken all those numbers or very close, and I'll just give you a couple that are hard for me to wrap my head around. Year to date, so April 24th this year versus April 24th last year, we're up 173% in season ticket sales. We're up 1,221% in individual ticket sales, and we're up 222% in total ticket revenue. We've sold out the preseason game. We've sold out the home opener. The second game on May 18th is almost sold out, and there's a handful of other games that are very close to selling out. I tell you all that, though, to say there are still plenty, as they say, good seats available for the balance of the summer. We play 20 home games at College Park Center. It still remains one of the best values in all of sports. Our average ticket price is about $40. There's only 6,251 seats at College Park Center. So no matter where you sit in that basketball-specific venue, you're going to have a great seat and an opportunity to see the best 144 women's basketball players on the planet up close and personal.
Specifically about y'all's team, all of that is phenomenal for business, absolutely. But as you said, for your loyal fan base, how excited are you about the team and the product that y'all will put out, and what kind of postseason potential does this 2024 team have?
Yeah, we've been building this roster for the last 3 or 4 years. We did it the hard way. We kind of tore it down and rebuilt it through the draft primarily. And there's a lot of pain and suffering, as you know, that goes into that on the front end. But we've gone through those struggles, and now we have a very good young core group that has gotten better every year. Last year, we made it to the semifinals. We were a top four team. We lost the eventual two-time champion, Las Vegas Aces. We have some of the biggest, new, brightest stars in the game, in Arike Ogunbowale and Satu Sabli, amongst others. So we feel very good that the growth of our business is converging with the growth of our team at the same time.
Man, appreciate the time very much. Preseason opener against those Indiana Fever, May 3rd, and then the regular season gets going against Chicago May 15th. Congratulations on the new arena deal as well. We appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks for having me, guys. Look forward to chatting again soon.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Dallas Wings president and CEO Greg Bibb right here on 105.3 The Fan. And, you know, he did say one thing that I was like, I get it. When he goes, we lost to Vegas. They're a tough team. You could see how Dallas teams would lose to Vegas, right, Corey?
No, I can't.
The Raiders.
The Raiders are good. They're a good team.
Maybe, I don't know.
Dude, does that
exactly.
Mean, does that mean the A's are going to be, like, unstoppable?
Yeah, they probably will.
When they get to Vegas? They go to Vegas.
Without spending any money?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Does that change?
And then you're going to really say never count out the A's.
Yeah. Don't count out the A's.
All right. Are you guys ready? Because the Rangers won yesterday. Do you want to do some power rankings for Major League Baseball.
I love power rankings.
I don't have the standings pulled up, so I'm going to try to do this without
I'm going to do with standings.
Who is the number one team in all of the lands?
In my world, I lean towards Baltimore, but I also saw Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So those are my two picks right now. I will go with Baltimore being like, you know, just a little bit of contrarian, thinking I'm going to be wrong here.
Yeah, I'll go with Atlanta.
Corey, you are correct. Mm. Atlanta is number one. Fear not, though, Mike.
I got this.
Baltimore is number two.
All right.
Dropping that deuce.
What?
Number two.
All right.
What did you say in between there?
No, I think that sounds
okay,
right.
Okay, all right.
I saw the game last night.
All right.
That was for the Stars. No, the Rangers game was good.
Oh, man.
All right. Who goes after Atlanta and Baltimore?
The New York Yankees.
Oh, that's a good pick because I was thinking Dodgers. So I think we're going to hit 3 and 4 here. Yeah, but let's go with you, Yankees first.
You were wise to listen to Corey the first time.
I'm trying not to look at his computer.
This time, Mike.
I'm wrong at 4.
You were unwise.
The not the Astros.
It's the Yankees.
I think
Excuse
the Astros.
What?
Wait, the Yankees
have. The Dodgers that are number 3 and the Yankees are number 4. So you guys are knocking it out with the two pods
the Dodgers,
at a time.
Hold on. This doesn't make any sense. All right. I'm all looking at the standings, Kevin. That's why.
What, just because the Yankees have a significantly better record
than the
Dodgers?
The Dodgers are 15-11.
They got Shohei.
The Yankees are 17-8. Like, I'm going to give that a 5-game swing.
Do the Yankees have Shohei?
You know what's amazing about the Yankees is they don't have Garrett Cole pitching, and they're still doing that good.
That's
like, last year, a lot of their weakness was, yes, some of it was hitting because of Aaron Judge's injury, but a lot of it was, gosh, like, after Garrett Cole, what are these guys doing? And the guys that are doing it this year for them are doing well.
Now I'm a little concerned that the Yankees aren't 5.
No, he already said that.
The Dodgers are 3 and the Yankees
are
4.
So you're
right.
I was so caught off guard.
You should be concerned. The Yankees are not 5.
Yeah, all right.
You picked the Rangers at 5?
Guardians.
Wow.
Mike?
Coming on up in the world. I don't think the Rangers should be a top 5 team in baseball right now.
Except for John Gray and his 4
and 2/3
innings.
I don't have the standings pulled up, but the Guardians have a better record than the Royals. Are you correct?
They're 17-7 right now.
What are the Royals?
15-10.
Okay, I'll go with the Guardians, even though for some reason, maybe I'm feeling Bobby Witt Jr. right now, is I just think that I would maybe rather take the Royals into the playoffs than the Guardians.
Kevin, I just want to throw this out there real quick. The Guardians have the best run differential in baseball now at 47.
Ooh, then they're at 5.
And
they should
the Royals are 3rd at plus 38. So
but
like,
if you'd maybe rather take one other team.
All right, picking up. Who's in the
Milwaukee?
NL Central? I got to look at standings.
Milwaukee.
And these came out this morning. These came out this morning. So
yeah, it's got to be Milwaukee.
The Brew Crew.
It's the Philadelphia Phillies
coming
at number
10.
5.
Plus 8? That's miserable. They're not that good.
Yeah, but the Philly Fanatic, I think, had a birthday.
They're on a 2-game losing streak.
Does that factor into the power
rankings? Yeah, Bryce Harper gave them a new glove.
I don't know, man.
All right, the Philadelphia Phillies.
They're placating to their audience.
Coming
right
at number 5, East Coast bias, right?
Yeah, that's what it is.
The Philadelphia Phillies are 5, but you guys were close on the other one. So
Cleveland
then it,
rocks.
Then it goes Guardians at 6, Brewers at 7.
Royals
so still no 8. Royals.
I'll give Royals at 8. I know that they're about to play the Royals here pretty soon, the Rangers, so we'll get a firsthand look at what they're doing.
Well, guess what, Mike?
The Rangers are at 8.
At number 8. The Royals Kansas City will never be royal. It's the Chicago Cubs at 8.
We took 2 out of 3 from them.
That's right. Now, are you going to pick the Royals over the Texas Rangers?
For now, if I'm seriously looking at the first 25 games, I would say the Royals are a better team than the Rangers right now.
ESPN disagrees.
Good.
The
World
Texas
Series
Rangers
champions.
And that's why they're the worldwide leader in sports.
9. The Kansas City Royals are 13 on this list.
So they believe, well.
They're the opposite. They're like, this is a fluke. And it might be.
I'm betting also, like, the Royals were probably so far down in the rankings
like
to start the season.
Start
that they're like,
the
we can't
something.
Just vault them just because of what it's
That's true. But last week they were 13.
Oh.
And they're still at 13.
This is stupid.
Oh,
so
how many experts do they have here, Kevin?
I don't – that's a good question.
You're welcome.
Because it just says the article is by ESPN, so I guess every employee got a vote
they
or
AI. They fired enough people that they're just AI in this thing.
So Toronto is 10, Arizona 11, Cincinnati 12, and Kansas City 13. As we usually do, Who is the worst team in all of baseball?
The South Side.
The Chicago White Sox come in dead last.
Oh,
followed
man.
By the Colorado Rockies and Miami Marlins.
No. Oh, hold on. Go ahead.
The Oakland A's are all the way up to 27.
Okay. Kevin, how far down is the dirtiest city in America, according to Google?
Houston?
Houston.
Houston.
They're probably going to put them at 20. I bet they don't rank them below 20.
I bet they do.
Good.
They're 22nd. They were 17 last week. Houston, 22nd. So just think about this for a second.
Right.
In the power rankings, Houston is 22nd, and the A's are 27th. So we're not that far away, and the A's definitely have a better record than the Astros. So
if we want to stop there, I can tease my nuggets with what we
do
just
it.
Left
tease
off
it.
That sounds weird.
Okay, never mind. Yes, Mike, please go ahead.
Would they trade with us? Next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through the Fan. We're live at Pluckers in Fort Worth off of 820. If you want to come and see us, and right now, you get to see some baseball nuggets with Mike Bassett.
Kevin, let's see how good your memory is. The Houston Astros power ranking right now is
22.
They have a very bad record. It's worse than the 22nd. I guess Jerry would say 22nd worst record, I guess.
22nd best
record. They're the 22nd best team, so they get the 22nd pick.
Yeah. Okay. I do think – I'm starting to believe this, and I probably shouldn't. I am sorry if I jinx this, Ranger fans. I'm starting to believe that the run is over for the Astros.
Okay.
It's – to go to 7 ALCSs in a row, can you imagine if the Rangers now went to 6 more ALCSs in a row?
Honestly, I can't.
No, it's almost impossible. They've done it. So congratulations to the Houston Astros with 2 different managers – I don't know, was it 3 different general managers? I think 3.
Yeah, I know Dana Brown popped in here.
Yeah, Dana Brown's
recently.
Here now, but then they hired a guy after something, and then he left after they won the championship in 22 because of financial, you know, like they weren't paying him enough. And so I look at the Houston Astros, and here's my question. Let's just say the Houston Astros, which I think there's a strong possibility, they get to the All-Star break and they say, guys, what a run. We are now – Alex Bregman's a free agent. Jose Altuve, yes, we have him under contract. I'm not saying we can trade him. He's a 5'10 guy, so he'd have to agree. And maybe that's too big of a thing for another organization to take on Jose Altuve. It's really weird because – but maybe they would just look at it and go, we don't want to take on that. We've been booing him like so
right.
crazily for such a long time.
And their farm system is also really poor.
Their farm
really
system
poor.
Is horrible.
Yeah.
Like that is why they can't win at all because yeah. they do not have anybody – to replace their injuries. So, I ask you this. If you are the Houston Astros, I'm going to bring up a local kid here. I think a person like Ryan Pressly, who's been their closer for the last 3 to 4 years, who is now their setup man, he's off to a bad start. I can't say he's off to a good start. He's off to a really bad start. But let's just say he starts finding it. He's pitching pretty good in his role in the seventh, eighth inning, and you could add a person like that. I think Hader, you had your chance. They're not paying. The Rangers want nothing to do with that contract.
Yeah.
Would, if you were running the Houston Astros, and this goes to a question in all sports, and you know that you are now having to rebuild, and the Texas Rangers call you up about a player that they like, they're offering you a strong offer, maybe out of all the offers on this certain player or players, it's the best offer. Would you, if you were the Houston Astros, trade a good player to the Texas Rangers to help them possibly repeat, win the division, whatever you want to say?
I don't think they would.
And you say they.
Yeah, being okay. The Astros.
All right.
Yeah, answer it both ways.
I don't think I would either.
Would you call, if you're Chris Young, and this is two different questions.
Okay, yeah, so, I think yeah. You can be you're the opposite.
In,
you
you're
can
in
be...
Chris Young's position, and or what you think Chris Young would do. What would you do if you're the GM of that team? Would you call the Astros and say, hey, I want your guy?
Absolutely.
Okay, and you think Chris Young's probably
yes.
Doing that too? Okay.
Yeah, no, absolutely I do. I'm in the stubborn fan mode of – you know, I wouldn't want to help them. If you're the Astros, you don't want to help them win another title. I'm okay, I think, trading with the Astros because I'm like, that's fine. Like, take whatever prospect if I can win now.
You're willing to give them what could, like, maybe they're like, hey, we want to, I don't know.
Brock Porter.
Okay. And then that dude turns into their ace they build around. You're okay with that.
If it serves my goal now, I really think I am. As long as I'm not paying some intrastate tax or something because they're like, oh, we don't want to trade with you unless you do that. I'm not doing that. But if it's like a fair and square deal, I'll live with the consequences. It's the same thing with Cole Reagan. It's like, I know nobody cares about Kansas City Royals in terms of a rivalry.
Until they
win
the World Series.
Yeah, that's great.
That was the Rangers' main rivalry in the 70s.
Okay, yeah. Well, in last 50 years, the Royals haven't been particularly relevant rivalry-wise with the Rangers. Sorry about that, Mike. My apologies to your dad as well.
Yeah, man, 50 years ago, this was the team we were trying to knock off.
My apologies to your father as
well. Getting in fights and everything. Toby Harris throwing double play balls at Hal McCray's head. Come on, man. You don't remember that?
I'm too stubborn with
guys
this.
Were beamed up when they charged.
I wasn't
stuff.
Alive, so no, I don't remember that.
I'm too stubborn with this, Mike. I wouldn't trade with the Eagles. I know we've like swapped fifth round picks with them and stuff like that. I'm not a fan of
that's how we got Micah Parsons.
I understand that too. I'm not a huge fan of moving around with teams that I consider my rivals.
Okay, so you're saying
because that takes away from the rivalry.
If you were the Astros, you would not trade to the Rangers. But if you were the Rangers, would you call the Astros if you see that they're 15 games under 500 and you can, you're like, hey, there's three or four guys here that we're interested in?
No.
That's the part I would do.
And I'm limiting myself. I know I'm doing that. It's stubborn.
I don't know his contract, and I don't think they would make him available. Can you imagine if they were like, I know the Rangers, you know, were looking strongly into trading for Dylan Cease. They ended up not getting him. Let's just say Framber Valdez is available. Now, it's going to take a big package to get him. You're going to have to trade four premium prospects probably to get somebody like that as long as he's healthy at the time. But are you saying you wouldn't call about Framber Valdez?
Well, this is
weird.
He
has nothing to do with, like, 17.
This is weird to me because
Christian Javier.
I would probably trade because the A's are a rival too.
Yeah.
I would probably trade everything for Mason Miller. I'd be like, yeah, go ahead. So I guess so. Maybe I am. But maybe not the 35-year-old closer. But for Mason Miller, I would do that.
Okay.
So maybe I'm not that stubborn.
And once again, don't want to jinx anything, but you guys brought up yesterday, stating factual things, Bruce Bochy never under 500 as the Rangers manager. And then Bruce Bochy came on, and we threatened him about that.
Is that?
I don't think we told him.
I think your friend Leslie is where I got that stat from. I think it was her, or maybe it was somebody on the
I've heard that one, and it's obviously true. Last year they started off 40-20, so and then they swept Philadelphia to start the year. So they start off 3-0. So I don't recall each day of each record, but by the time you got to game 20-25, they were well above 500 and never in the threat of really falling below 500. This year, now 13-12. I have that record right. So they are still above 500. Bochy has never been below. This is going to be an interesting day game today here on 105.3 The Fan, 1 o'clock pregame, 1:30 game. Then we go to GBag Nation/draft coverage. But Luis Castillo's pitching. Yesterday, once again, why am I Miller, right? Kid from Blinn, then Texas A&M. My son was like, that's awesome because, you know, I'm like,
that's
hey, man.
That's where he wants to go.
Like, yeah. That could be your path, yeah. too, you know. So you get a big win there. John Gray, I don't want to say he struggled because at the end of the day, since, you know, at the end of the day, the Cowboys might have a new player.
That's right.
At the end
or
of
maybe
the
they
day,
trade down.
John Gray gave you a chance to win.
He did.
So I think that's what you're asking from guys like John Gray. For Evaldi, you almost like say pitch us to a win. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like the difference between like you pitch us to a win, you give us the opportunity to win. There's the home run yesterday.
It did
Adolis
look like
Garcia.
He caught it.
So it looks like he catches it. He won't show his glove or anything. This is Julio Rodriguez when Adolis Garcia hit his home run. I wish Julio Rodriguez would have kept doing the bit. I wish he would have gone into his glove, thrown the ball into the shortstop, not having a ball, invisible, throw it. The shortstop, J.P. Crawford was hurt yesterday, so I'm not sure who the shortstop was. They throw it around. They give the fake ball back to the pitcher. At what point does brains kick in and go, they're not throwing a baseball around. It's just fake. In the stands, would you be like, because sometimes you don't even notice the ball when they're throwing it around. You're just noticing the action of what they're doing.
Let me ask you a question then. Would there be any way that in a pregame at all the stadiums, you could try to wedge a ball under the fence so in case this situation came up.
In the right padding
area? Yeah, and then when you're looking disappointed, you just snag the ball from there and hope they don't check the replay.
I hope you're right.
I got it.
I feel like you might run into a Sammy Sosa situation where when he broke his bat, he stopped running to first and sprinted for the bat in the middle of the field. Like, Sammy!
Because of the course.
Yes, wait, what's going on?
You are giving this away that you are not using a proper bat.
He's like, oh, I couldn't believe
he's
it.
He's like, I didn't. I forgot I was using my batting practice bat in the game. I was like, Sammy, I'm pretty sure you knew when you started sprinting for the bat once it broke.
Kevin, you would have to wedge a ball in every corner of every pad, and then somebody's running into that.
I know, and then the balls fall out, and now you're not sure.
I didn't say it would be easy.
Like, crap, there's four balls.
He couldn't trace it back to you. Just yell out, multi-ball. Right. Let's see what happens.
And then, like, if you learn anything from Sammy Sosa, act like you don't see those balls on the ground, all right? You just act like they're not there, and you just play around them.
Rangers activate Josh Spores from the injured list.
That's right.
Oh, my. And, hey, by the way, Hernandez pitched pretty good last night.
He did.
That was a great sign. I was worried coming in that situation for John Gray. Really good job. That's a good sign. It's one game, only one game, but that's a good sign for a pitcher who has lacked confidence taking a major league mound to have that good of an outcome, hopefully to be good the rest of the season and build on his confidence.
Because you're way more concerned about the mental side with
100%.
Him, right?
100%. His stuff is
awesome.
So good, but he gets so, I think, mentally defeated when things don't go the right way. Last nugget, thank God we're not the Pittsburgh Pirates. They took Paul Skeens number one. He did give up a run for the first time this year in AAA. He has 17 innings pitched, 34 strikeouts. Two strikeouts an inning. 0.53 ERA with a whip of 0.88. And they are not calling him up, most likely, from what I understand, till mid-June because they don't want him to accrue the service time. They also want him to maybe avoid being a Super 2, which means you can hit arbitration a year early.
Wow.
So they, instead of having the possible Cy Young winner up and Rookie of the Year this year, they're like,
Pass.
We will wait till mid-June to call up arguably, possibly the best pitcher in all of baseball.
Business is brutal, man.
So, man, that is crazy. For the Rangers moves, yesterday they put Austin Pruitt on the injured list to recall Grant Anderson. They've now sent Grant Anderson back down to activate Josh Spores from the injured list. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at Pluckers in Fort Worth off of 820, about to open this place up. Coming up next, puck around and find out Stars Golden Knights. Game 2, next on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day.
Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.